mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Palm Sunday. It's a kind of a mixed emotional day. It's very happy, very joyous. Our Lord riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey on the foal of a colt. And yet we know why he's entering the city. He's entering to die. This is the week of our Lord's Passion. Now there's a song on Christian radio I've listened to a little bit. Heard this just the other day. It's by a group called 10th Avenue North. You may have heard it. It's called The Healing Begins. The lyrics, I looked them up. This is where the healing begins, oh. This is where the healing begins. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark. Sparks will fly as grace collides when the dark is inside of us. So please don't fight this coming light. Let this blood come cover us. His blood can cover us. This is where the healing begins. This here in God's holy house. This is where the blood of Christ is present. This is where His holy word is proclaimed. Now, as did all those people that gathered that first Palm Sunday, that first day of the week when our Lord rode in triumphantly into Jerusalem, this man who would save all of mankind, he would save all of God's people, he would save all of us from sin, death, and the devil. So we gather here today. The time of our Lord to be glorified has come. The healing of mankind has begun. But why did those people come? Why did all those people gather? In our gospel lesson today, we heard that these Greeks, Greeks, came up and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." I've told this before, but one of my professors at the seminary taught me that this is why people come to church. They want to see Jesus. And yet these Greeks, these heathens they were at that time, they weren't Jews. They weren't anything. And they come and they said, "We want to see Jesus." Philip ran off to Andrew and Philip then went to Jesus and said, "Lord, there's some Greeks here that want to see you." Why? They wanted to learn about Jesus. They wanted to hear more about him. They wanted to see. They wanted to touch, taste, feel, and see the miracles of the Lord. They heard about it. Where did they hear about it? The word had spread. They had heard about the mighty miracles of the Lord. He'd been doing so many things up to this point in his ministry. He'd done many miracles. He's raised the dead. He healed the sick. Turned water into wine. He's walked on the water. He's done many things, and all of these wonderful stories about his miracles, they spread everywhere in the people. I want that too. I want to touch, taste, feel, and I want to see the miracles of the Lord for me. They had within them the desire of an awakening faith. So what about us today? Surely we would want to know more about and the wonderful miracles that he has done for us. The goodness of the Lord. We built this church up as Christ has commanded us to. For what? Why do we have this church here, folks? We don't have this church here for our own reasons, for our own attitudes, for our own ideas, and that'll be nice. No, we have this church here because Christ says to have this church. This church, his body, the bride of Christ. Why then did this God-man ask his father? He said, Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard this said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to them. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus wants to draw all people to himself because this is the consummation of our hope. This is the finality. This is it. This is our hope. Because, folks, this world is not it. There's more. There is life everlasting. There is a soul within each and every one of us that will live forever. And it does boil down to, well, where is it going to live? It's going to live either in the wonderful grace of our Lord, or it's going to be in the pangs of hell, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus, he has rescued us from sin, death, and the devil. He has delivered each and every one of us to the promised land. He has delivered us to the kingdom of heaven. We now reside in the kingdom of God, and we have the sure and certain hope of everlasting life in heaven. He is the one whom we glorify as truly God's only Son. It's not even me. It's not you. It is Jesus. This is why, of course, you want to touch, taste, feel. You want to see the miracles of the Lord. Why? Because you know God's promises are true. Listen to, again to our Old Testament lesson. Rejoice greatly, O daughter and sons of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughters and sons of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Lord says, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I will declare that I will restore to you double. You think you've lost something? You ever read the book of Job? I have. It's a long book of the Bible, Job is. Why? Because Job has a lot of whining to do. Job lost something. Job lost everything he had. His wife, his children, all of his animals, all of his land, everything was taken. Because God let Satan test Job. And what did Job do about it? He whined about it. He cried about it. He wrote about it, and he was sorry about it. And it got to him, it got to him, it got to him, until he repented. And he looked at his faith. And what did the Lord do for Job? He got back double. No, he didn't get two wives. He got one wife back. And thank goodness he didn't get double the children, but he got all of his children back. But he did get double the animals, double all of his field, all of his farming and everything, his herds, double everything. The Lord blessed him beyond anything he could possibly imagine. And that's what our Lord promises to us. We've lost things. Tom, you and your family have lost a very important loved one. Not forever. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in Jesus Christ. You know, it can be really hard to touch, taste, feel, and see the miracles of our Lord. It can be really hard to do that. It can be really hard, much to be really difficult, I think. It'd be really hard to see the wonders and miracles of our Lord from your living room. It'd be real difficult to see a sacrament take place within your garage or at the bowling alley. That's why people gather on the first day of the week. We gather as Jesus strode into Jerusalem. We gather on that first day of the week. We hail Jesus as King because they gathered to see Him and greet Jesus. So too we do that. I hope by now, I've been here for a couple of years, I hope you know and believe that it's the Lord wants you to have faith. The Lord wants you to know He loves you. That's why this church exists. Jesus said, "Blessed is he who believes but does not see." Like I said, you don't see all the greatness of the Lord. I know you don't open your Bible every day at home. I know you don't get down on your knees and worship as you should. We're human beings. That fact will remain. But I do know that each and every Sunday the church will remain. The church will continue. Even after this building is down to rubble, the church of Christ will continue. It will always exist. Whether we have all these pews filled or not. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus had a rather somewhat kind of a stern piece of advice for us. He said, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." Often in the church, we pray that we have God allow us to do the work we must do while it is daytime, as no one can work at night. I know you haven't worked the graveyard, but that's not the work he's talking about. He's talking about your salvation, the work you have to do for your faith to grow. You need to hear the word of God in the light. You hear the light read from here. It's hard to find something to touch, taste, feel, or even see in the dark, isn't it? Today, the light of Christ shines. This candle here is the Christ candle, the Paschal candle. This light shines today, but all too soon the darkness will befall us. It will get dark. It will get dark for you the moment you walk out of this church. It will get dark the moment you walk back to your job. It will get dark the moment you go back to school. These are the dark times. You will stray from the light. You will stray from the light of Christ. That's why we have church. That's why we have confession and absolution. why we celebrate the Lord's Supper today. St. John wrote once again, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. Listen to this, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. That's us, honestly. We trust the glory of man more than we trust the glory of God. Here, this is how we overcome that. We let the blood of Christ cover us. We gather here in this place and we touch, taste, feel, and we see the miracle of God, our Lord, right here at the font, right here upon the altar in his body and blood. We heed the words of St. Paul. St. Paul spoke in his epistle today. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in the risen Christ Jesus.